Okay, in Haggai chapter 1. Now, during this time, the people had started to come back from the land, from the Babylonian captivity of Judah. Judah, as you will recall, was taken into captivity for 70 years by Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon. And when Nebuchadnezzar left, he razed the temple, he destroyed the temple in Jerusalem, destroyed the city, and he took all of the articles of worship from the temple, the golden bowls and the silver bowls and chargers and candlesticks and whatnot. He took those as well as the people. Now, I want you to see something in a comparison. He took the articles of value from the temple in the same way that he took God's people from Jerusalem, articles of value. Things that were holy and separated unto God, as Judah was. Holy and separated unto God. See, when we talk about the vessels of worship, there's a figure in them about people. And he took these articles from the temple in the same way he took Judah. And we know that there were some great vessels in Judah, great vessels of worship, like Daniel, like Ezekiel, like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and many others. They were taken into captivity along with the rest of the people for the sin of Judah for 70 years. And God told them he was going to take them into captivity for 70 years, seven being a picture of a complete time. And he took them into captivity for those 70 years. At the end of that 70 years, when the Medes and the Persians had overthrown Babylon, Cyrus the Mede stood up and said that God had told him to build his house. And this, you can read about this in Nehemiah. And they released the people back to the land to build God's house, to build Jerusalem, and to build the temple. All right, the two leaders at that time in the building of God's house in the beginning were Zerubbabel, the governor of Judah, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the high priest, the son of Jehozadak. Now, these two men are very figurative in what they represent. And them and the remnant of the people built God's house. Now, during this time when they were coming back, many started to build their own houses, and God raised up Haggai, the prophet, Haggai, and this is what Haggai said. This is what the Lord Almighty says, verse 2. These people say the time has not yet come for the Lord's house to be built. Well, I want you to see a comparison. The real temple of God, the true house of God, is His church. And as they were coming back and building their own fine and paneled houses, don't we have today, many Christians are saying the same thing today. It's not time for God's house to be built. They built their own fine and paneled houses. They built their own ideas of what ministry is, their own churches, their own denominations, their own organizations, and God's house remains a ruin. Listen to what Haggai says. This is what the Lord people says. These people say the time has not yet come for the Lord's house to be built. Then the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai. Is it time for you yourselves to be living in your paneled houses while this house remains a ruin? Well, that question is being asked of us now by the Spirit of God. Is it time for us to live in our own fine and paneled houses while God's house, His church, remains a ruin? And people are saying it's not time for us to be one. It's not time for there to be one body, one faith, one baptism. But that's not what the Scriptures tell us. It is time. It is. It's time now to build God's house. Is it right for us to be living in this division in our own houses and our own ideas and building our own ideas of ministry while God's house remains a ruin when there is no unity of the faith or the purity of a gospel message? I want you to consider this because this is what the Lord God wants you to consider now. This is what the Lord God Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. You planted much, but you've harvested little. You eat, but you never have enough. You planted much. we see that there's a lot of work in ministry going on, a lot of planning, but they're not harvesting a lot, are they? Not of anything that's true and spiritual and lasting. They eat, but they never have enough. They eat of the Word of God, but they don't have enough. It's locked off to them. They don't understand. They drink, but they don't have their fill. They partake of the Holy Spirit, but not the fullness that God wants to give them. You put on clothes, but are not warm. Their righteousness is as filthy rags. They're not warm. You understand? They're not putting on Jesus the way they need to. You put on clothes but are not warm. You earn wages only to put them in a purse with holes in it. They're not storing their treasures in heaven where neither thieves nor rots nor moths can corrupt it. They're investing it here in the flesh. They're putting it in purses with holes in it. Because they have forsaken God's house to build their own. And this is real important. Because you cannot escape the fact of what it is we're doing today. All you have to do is look around at TV and look around on every block where you see a church where they have decided to separate themselves, have their own ideas of doctrine and their own ideas of ministry, and they will not submit themselves to God to come to a unity of the faith. They will not submit their own thinking and their own ideas to the Word of God. They're not even looking for that unity. They say it's not time to build God's house. It's not time for us to be one. And it is. God says, give careful thought to your ways. This is what the Lord Almighty says, verse 7. Give careful thoughts to your ways. Go up into the mountains, the heavenlies. That means in that communion we have through the body and blood of Christ. Go up into the mountains and bring down timber and build the house so that I may take pleasure in it and be honored. We need to go into the heavenlies and build, get what God will give us to build with. And those timbers, guess what? You know what those timbers are? Those are people. Those are men. Those are men that God will give us. We need to go up into the mountains to get those timbers. We need to go up in the heavenlies. That God will send out workers. His workers. Men that are sent from God. Not men who have sent themselves. Isn't that what we see the majority around us? As men who sent themselves? Bring down timber to build God's house. The trees of Lebanon, my friends. The trees of Lebanon, the tall, straight trees. The mighty men of God that He sends. It comes from God's mountain. You expected much, you see. Build a house that I may take pleasure in and be honored, says the Lord. You expected much, you see. It turned out to be little. What you brought home, I blew away. Why? Because the Lord don't... declares the Lord Almighty, because of my house which remains a ruin, while each of you is busy with his own house. Therefore, because of you, the heavens have withheld their dew, the earth its crops. See, the earth its crops. The heaven its dew. There's supposed to be a great pouring out of the Holy Spirit to nourish the church. And there's supposed to be a great harvest, those crops, to come into the church. But God will not allow us to bring that great harvest into this current division and corruption. He will not. There's supposed to be a great outpouring in these last days. A great outpouring, a blessing from God to call people into the church. A great work of the Spirit. But He ain't going to give us that in order to bring these people into this current division and corruption. These people that are lost. He's going to straighten out His house first. He's going to straighten out His people first. And then He'll give us that. It tells us in John 17, verse 21. And I want you to read it for yourself. Jesus prayed, may they be one, Father, as you and I are one, that the world may believe you sent me. The world will not believe that God sent Jesus as long as we're in this corruption of division. As long as there's 1,000 different voices proclaiming that we're the true church and at odds with each other, the world will not believe that God sent Jesus. May they be one, Father, as you and I are one, that the world may believe you sent me. See, this is what hinges on our unity. When there's one church standing straight and all the others are leaning, then the world will believe that God sent Jesus. And that's when God will let the dew of heaven fall upon us. That great outpouring. And that's when God will allow these crops to be brought into His barn. The church. The lost. That's when He will send these workers out into the field. The harvest is great, but the workers are few. Are you understanding here what we're talking about? What it was talking about physically here in Haggai is spiritually for us. Because just as Judah came out of a great captivity to Babylon, the church has come out of a great is coming out of a great captivity from Babylon. This is why so many people are leaving the mainstream church. They're milling out there in the wilderness and waiting for leadership. Waiting for these marching orders like here in Haggai to build God's house. They're coming out of all this because it's irrelevant. There's no answer to their lives there. God has released us from Babylon. God has released us from men's ideas. And many of us are starting to feel that freedom to come out. Many of us are starting to see the need to build God's house. This is a time of transition. And Haggai is very prophetic of what we're talking about. Therefore, because of you, the heavens have withheld their dew and the earth its crops. I call for a drought on the fields and on the mountains, on the grain and the new wine and the oil, and whatever the ground produces, on men and cattle and on the labor of your hands. Then Zerubbabel, now here's the second part of the prophecy, because this is prophecy for the church. Then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the whole remnant of the people obeyed the voice of the Lord, their God, and the message of the prophet Haggai, because the Lord their God had sent him, and the people heard the Lord. Now notice it says, the Lord their God had sent him. He'd sent Haggai with this message. And Zerubbabel the governor, and Joshua the son of Jehozadak the high priest, listened. And then with the remnant of the people built God's house. They obeyed. Well, Zerubbabel the governor stands for the law. And Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, stands for the prophets. And these are the two great witnesses. These are the two anointed ones who stand before the Lord of the whole earth. The law and the prophets. This is what Moses and Elijah represent. Moses for the law, Elijah for the prophets. This is why a priest and a king always ruled over Israel. Priest for the prophets and king for the law. And these two men picture these two great witnesses who are coming. And their purpose is to build God's house with the remnant of the people. That's us, guys. And any time now, we're going to see, in the beginning of the building of this house, we're going to see these two who come to lay the foundations for this last day's house. And then with the remnant of the people. That's who these two are. When we read in Zechariah, it talks about them. In chapter 3, it talks about Joshua, and in chapter 4, Zerubbabel. And it talks about them both dragging out that stone with eyes. The cornerstone. Jesus, for the temple. And it compares them. When Zechariah was asking, after he got through telling him about Zerubbabel and Joshua, he said, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this temple and his hands will finish it. You know, the law is all about foundation, planting. The prophets is all about the roof of the house. It's all about covering, watering. The one who plants and the one who waters are the two great witnesses. We're all planted in death by the law and we're all quickened to life through the prophets, so to speak. This is like the body and blood of Christ. The Word, the law, the prophets, the Spirit, the blood. It takes the two witnesses. These are the two great witnesses in the body and blood of Christ. It's by these two. You know, the word is planted in your heart. Get it? A foundation. And the Spirit quickens it to life. One plants and one waters, but only God can make it grow. And these two are sent to plant and to water this last day's house. Symbolically, Zerubbabel and Joshua, they picture the two great witnesses who are coming. And they will have these spirits of anointing, just as Moses and Elijah did, just as Elisha did in double portion, just as John the Baptist had the spirit of Elijah, that anointing of the prophets, and just as Paul the Apostle had the anointing of Moses to lay the foundation of the church. These two are coming to lay a foundation, and them with the remnant of the people will build God's house. And the word of the Lord came to me, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid this foundation, chapter 4 of Zechariah, verse 8. And his hands will complete it. Then you will know the Lord Almighty has sent me to you. Who despises the day of small things? Men shall rejoice when they see the plumb line in the hand of Zerubbabel. These are the seven eyes of the Lord which reigns throughout the earth. The same stone that Joshua had drawn out in chapter 3 with seven eyes. And I asked the angel, what are these two olive trees on the right and left of the lampstand? It's the two olive trees. Again I asked him, what are these two olive branches beside the two golden pipes that pour out the golden oil? He replied, don't you know what these trees are? No, my Lord, I said. He said, these are the two who are anointed to serve the Lord of all the earth. In Revelation chapter 11, it tells us, I'll send my two witnesses clothed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees. Listen to it. And I will give power to my two witnesses, and they will prophesy for 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees and the two lampstands that stand before the Lord of the earth. Chapter 11, where it talks about the two great witnesses. These two men are coming, and they will have the anointings of Moses and Elijah. They will have the anointings of the law and the prophets. And them with the remnant of the people will build God's house here in these last days. And the glory of the latter-day house, it says here in Haggai, will be greater than that of the former. You see, these two temples that were there in the time of Judah, Solomon's temple that was destroyed at the beginning of that captivity, that was the first temple. The second temple was the one they built when they came out of Babylon. They represent the former and latter-day houses. In other words, they represent the early church and the last days church. And we followed the same pattern. When the last days church died out, we seen Christianity taken into captivity to paganry, didn't we? Into Babylon. Christianity was in captivity because of sin. And it wasn't a literal 70 years, but it was all this time. But now the time has come, just as it did for Judah to come out of captivity. This complete time of God. It's time now for us to become one, to build God's house. It's time to come out of that captivity and build God's house. And the glory of the latter-day house will be greater than that of the former. The last day's church will be greater than the early church. In the same way that second temple was greater than the first temple. And just as they had Zerubbabel and Joshua, we will have these two witnesses, these two anointed ones. And then with the remnant of the people, us, we will build God's house. We'll be one. The foundation will be the same foundation the early church was built on. Jesus Christ, the head of the corner, on the foundation of the apostles and prophets. It's time. It's time, guys. We are the generation upon whom the end of the ages has come. It's time. And the glory of the latter-day house will be greater than that of the former. That's what's going on. And that's where we are prophetically. We're in this time of transition to see those foundations laid. And that's why these revelations are being opened up to us, because it is time. And I pray that you can hear with the voice of the Spirit what I'm saying to you. Because what I tell you is by the Spirit of God, through the Scriptures. This is the truth. There is no other thing going on. This is it. There is no other viewpoint. There is no other opinion. This is it. This is the last day's message for the church, that it's time for us to humble ourselves and build God's house. To make God truly first. And the first thing he wants to restore is the unity of the faith and the purity of the gospel message. That is the body and blood of Christ. The blood of Christ is the Spirit. That's our unity. The body of Christ is the Word. That's the purity of the gospel. Get it? That is in spirit and in truth. In spirit is our unity, in truth is the gospel. These are the first two building blocks, and I don't care how you slice it. It's what it comes down to. These are the first two things God is concerned with. The purity of this gospel message. One true gospel. One faith. One baptism. One body. The unity of the faith. And this is where it starts. And you're going to see these two guys come soon. Soon. It's God who reveals them. It's not important who they are physically. It's what God has called them to do. And they're not even going to care what you call them, because they're going to be busy doing the work of God. It's what they're appointed to do. God is preparing us now to recognize that time. And He's calling us, Christians everywhere that have the Holy Spirit, to come together to humble themselves and make God actually first. Not just theoretically first, actually first. To humble ourselves and make God first so that we can hear His voice clearly. So that we can see what God will do. It's time to build God's house. And like I said, the glory of the latter-day house will be greater than that of the former. That's a good place to stop.